finance?
Oh, all clear.
All clear. One of the things I think we might ask the director of finance to give us some information on in the next council meeting or so is the deed transfer tax revenues. I raise that, and I understand it can be muddied and clouded and so on with exceptional cases, but certainly at the end of the first quarter, it was significantly up from what we had budgeted. And anecdotally, as I talked to the realtors, there have been a lot of real estate deals done. And that should be reflected in the deed transfer tax revenue. So perhaps we'll ask for that. Is that reasonable?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
An update, just as a point of interest, I think it's it's one way of putting your finger on the pulse of the economy. Okay, that all under finance. It brings us to item 12, recreation. Councillor Frelick.
Yes. It is recommended the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the revised job description for Director of Recreation as per attachment of this report.
Seconded by Councillor Fancy. Discussion. The only question I had, and it's a technical one, so I'll ask it first. Why was the document that states at the bottom approved by council on August 23rd?
That's a typo. Okay. Typo. I have a typo.
Okay, so let's take that date off and make sure it stays off. Okay. Yes, Deputy Manon.
I just noticed that once it's approved, the recruitment process will begin, and would it run for 6 weeks, 4 weeks?
I would anticipate for this sort of position, this could take a few months to fill.
We run them across Canada and Atlantic Canada?
It would be going
because it is
Beacon.
A
yeah.
Very attractive salary. So I'm assuming that we're going to not, just on a side note, and I know we hire from without Queens and people grumble about us. On the flip side, someone from Shelburne was complaining to me about their new CAO that was hired from Queens. And I said to him, you know, we're all Canadians and we all have the right to hire one another and move around. So I hope we job search this well and get the top notch person that we can get, regardless of where these people come from. And I just hope that attitude, I know it doesn't live with us, but it often lives with people in our areas who think every time we hire, we have to hire someone from here. And then we hear our neighbors say it. And as long as we hire someone from the world that suits this thing.
Councilor Fisk.
my opinion only, and the bachelor's degree in recreation management, that's fine. But when you say the salary range from 68 to 82, the levels, how do you judge when you go for your interviews? How do you judge that salary range?
So firstly, what I did reviewing the job description was look at what a recreation director for a regional municipality should make, and you know, actually looked at the lower end of that scale to make sure that we would have a competitive remuneration for an appropriate candidate. So I looked at that, and that would judge the scale. So typically, someone that has lower experience or near lower work would start at the lower end of the scale, you know, you would move up the scale as you had experience or more credentials.
Just one more quick question,
yep.
I'm not hung up on the salary ranges at all, not at all. So just so you know that.
Well, really, it's not directly up to council. And when I say that, the job description approval is what you're being asked for, and that is up to council. The salary range will depend on job content. We have a salary administration plan. It's up to staff to use that plan and slot that job according to the criteria of the plan. It's a standard in any salary administration program. So really what we're talking about is job content. But I think that the recreation planning in Queens and that whole recreation area is at a watershed. We know that, and this is an opportunity to bring in someone who is experienced and has a lot of background in recreation, because we know that things like curling and golf and tennis are not as popular as they were. We know that the recreation center in Greenfield is feeling somewhat orphaned and has come to us for support. And I suspect all of that, this is an opportunity to look at all of that, tie it together. So coming back to what Deputy Mayor was saying, we should be hiring on the basis of quality and not origin of birth, place of birth. You know, we really should expect staff to hire a crackerjack and take full advantage of this opportunity in Queens. Yes, Councilor Vance.
Okay, I'm go. I look at this and I say, well, we're looking at the description, and this is what we're voting through. I do have a problem with the upper end of that. Now, I know it's not ours to do that, but I'm saying if it goes that way, I probably won't vote for the description just because of that. I think it's I don't like to see us going up to that stage and pay. I just want to keep us be financially feasible. When I see in the general accountability, see what working in recreation for the 4 years that I've been in it, I see things. It's not just all what we have here that isn't being done, but what isn't being out there and being done. And I don't know if someone just being hit over things. If you don't have workers, what do you got? You just got a leader without anything, with no army, and that just dies. And we found that out how it works. I'm sure Brian can attest to that, because we end up being the workers, because if we don't have any workers within the staff. So if we're going to just bring somebody up who's going to put up into a higher position and going to even be less of a worker, we're going to even be in worse shape than we are today. I talked to my sister out in Caledonia on the swimming pool thing. She said it was not a good program this year. But nobody with an overseer do that. We got to have people that, I don't know. We got a lot of problems, and I don't think putting somebody up into a higher position is going to solve that. Just personal.
Well, as I reiterate the higher level, that range,
right.
You should sit down and talk with the CAO to explain to you how that fits into a range, but that is a function of the salary administration program that we inherited from previous councils that is in effect for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Councilor McLeod.
I'm just looking under the management and strategic leadership lines, and it's a little bit confusing, and I coincide with what Councillor Jack Fancy has just indicated. It says provides leadership to all municipal staff providing recreational programming and service delivery. Direct reports include Queens Place Amaris Center management team and regional recreation supervisory staff. So whom would be the supervisory staff if this person in this position wasn't the supervisor?
Sure. So I guess currently we wouldn't have any recreation supervisors. What the preliminary org chart would look like would be the Queens Place staff, and then the MPAL position, regional recreation supervisor, so the swimming supervisor. There is a person that's hired as the supervisor. I think I pulled that from the previous job description. That wasn't new, but so it would be the Queens Place the MPAL position that we're recruiting for now, and then all that's really left is the swimming group.
The pool.
Yeah.
In Milton. And there, was there a supervisor there? So that would be a summertime position.
Exactly.
So what I would indicate from this would be, from my interpretation of this, that the recreation department would have supervisory staff there, not just broken down into a seasonal capacity.
Councilor Frederick.
Excuse me. I just wanted to echo what Councilor Fancy was saying. I don't have a problem with the pay scale. I do have a problem that our recreation has been, you know, sort of put aside in the past for economic development, and now we're realizing that it's a really important part of any community. And somehow we have to figure out, because if you look at projects like the town hall, you know, that is required. You need somebody to kind of run with that, and if you don't have the staff to who are available, that gets left behind. Recreation is the same. There's a lot of after hour things that could happen. Somehow we have to figure out how to pull all that together, and the MPAL person will help. But they have a very different focus that I'm not sure is going to, I think it'll align, but I'm not sure it will help out this person coming in. So I just think that we should be looking at the overall picture and trying to figure out how to make that a little bit more, that it works.
I agree with you entirely, actually.
Well, so do I. And that's the point here, is we really need a clear strategy.
Right.
And this person's going to need to work with council or standing committees or however the new council structures itself to develop a strategic plan and implement that, very similarly to some of the preliminary success we've had at Queen's Place with going through our strategic exercise. Actually, I'm going to ask Steve to update council, the next council, on what we've accomplished for them. We should be in position to recommend to council the advisory committee by then. We're just trying to get everything moving. So it's critical that this person has an overarching recreation strategy for our 2,730 square kilometers from east, west, south, and north, and how we're going to do that.
Okay, thank you.
And the emphasis being on the comprehensive strategy for the region of Queens.
Right.
It's, and apropos, you raised the advisory committee issue. Just in case people are wondering where that's at, we had a number of applications, all of which are going to be, I think, put before the nominating committee. There are two vacancies.
We had to recruit for the youth position.
There were two youth positions that we hadn't got people for. Those now have come forward, so we should be able to put it on the agenda for next council meeting. So nominating committee, take advice that we'll be having a meeting at 8:30 before council. Any other questions, discussion on this? If not, all in favor? Contrary-minded? One against. The rest in favor. I can't do the arithmetic. That must be 6-1, is it? I got my shoes on. I can't count that. Okay, where are we at now? That brings us to item 13, the sale of municipal land on King Street, Main Street, and King Street. Mike, thank you.
Once Mike is seated, I will I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a purchase and sale agreement with George and Sheila Williams for the acquisition of a parcel of land being a portion of the Main Street right-of-way and comprising approximately 3,125 square feet in area for a purchase price calculated at 0.54 cents per square foot.
Seconded by Bruce. Councilor Inglis.
Bruce is fine.
Discussion. Mike?
Yeah, I guess just a little bit of background. I guess the request has come in by the owners of properties identified as 7001-7736 and 7001-7744. The actual, the Main Street right-of-way in this location, as laid out under the old Liverpool town plot, was 100 feet wide. So the land that the owner acquired wasn't quite what he thought it was, and he's looking at constructing a new dwelling on the property. So in order to be able to do that, he felt he needed an additional land. So staff has looked at the right-of-way in this area and determined that 100 feet as currently laid out is really not necessary. The municipal services specification manual sets out a minimum right-of-way of 50 feet, so we can certainly do with much less. So so in order to facilitate a sale of a portion of that right-of-way, we first have to officially close that a portion of the Main Street right-of-way, so that it's no longer be used as a right-of-way, and then it becomes like any other parcel of land, and we can convey that that away. So so this request and the purchase and sale agreement that's attached addresses the proposed sale of a portion of one of these two parcels of land.
The only other thing I would mention is, if you look at the diagram schedule A, you will notice that a number of houses, adjacent properties, are encroaching on that right of way as it exists. So this is nothing unusual. Yes, Councilor McLeod.
Mike, just to clarify that the road has to be formally closed, or portion of that Main Street has to be formally closed before any of this agreement is in effect?
I guess the purchase and sale agreement gets signed off by the municipality and the Williams to effectively establish ES1. We have to close it because legally that road or that portion of the road has to be closed. And then it becomes like any other parcel of land, we can convey it at that time. So I guess the first step in that process is to formally close that portion of the road.
Okay. So what's the situation with that? How does that process work?
I guess if council agrees to the purchase and sale, then we have to have that area essentially surveyed so it meets a balanced description of the area that's going to be closed, because we have to include that in the resolution of council to formally close that. We have to legally describe what's actually being closed. So,
right.
So that would be the first step. Council passes the resolution. The resolution gets recorded at the Registry of Deeds. Then that section of road is then legally, just like any other parcel of land, and then we convey that and the deed drawn up, just like we would any other parcel, sale of parcel.
And you indicated that under the MGA, the fact of having a public hearing is you're not quite sure whether you have. I'm just looking at the timing aspect of this. So you'll be working on that, is to determine if a public hearing has to be held for the road closure?
Under the MGA, it's there's certain things that we look at as far as what's required for a formal street closure. And as I interpret that section of the MGA, it doesn't have to have a formal public hearing for that closure, but I guess the resolution comes back before council and is discussed prior to that being approved. So as far as time frame, I guess if council passes this purchase and sale, as soon as Mr. Williams can get the surveying done and that description done up, the sooner we can schedule the resolution to be added to the council agenda. So we'll certainly process the file as quickly as possible, but there's certain steps that have to take place. So.
So if you've got to go through a public hearing on closing the street and so on, why wouldn't you close the street, that side of the street where the encroachments are, and do the whole thing? And then you are less likely to run into the situation that we are in 13-2, where there have been those closures, and now we've got, you know, somebody wants to come in and buy that piece of land. So, I mean, it just seems, if you know you've got encroachments, unless you're going to, and I know we're not going to do it, tell people that they're trespassing or encroaching, why wouldn't we take a 50-foot, whatever that strip is, 25-feet strip up Main Street and close all of that? You do it in one fell swoop. I leave that with you because it's an aside to the motion, but it's something that's coming up in the future. Yes, Deputy Mayor Norton.
Why that sounds like a great idea, there's that whole fact that we didn't budget survey costs to do that. And so we need to know what that's going to cost in order to do that. As it is now, Mr. Williams is going to pay the survey costs for that to happen. So is every landowner up there going to pay this, you know, are we going to figure out, I guess the only step we could do is we could figure out from a surveyor what the total price would be to do that, and then approach every landowner and ask them if they wanted to divvy the cost up to get their front lawn on which they've encroached.
An aside to the motion, I'm just throwing it out as following the procedure that Councilor McLeod has thrown in. Maybe reasons for doing it. It just seems to me that sometimes common sense slips through the cracks. Mm-hmm. But we've got the motion to sell this piece. Yes, Chris.
Is helping my brother-in-law sometimes with surveying. I'm not a surveyor, but I help him. I know it'll be for us in general to set up and do those things, finding those positions. It'd be a lot cheaper to do it all at once because you just go along and find the marks. But rather than to set it up each time everybody wanted to buy a portion of land.
Okay, so Councilor Inglis.
And I jump in spite of the fact that I was annoyed that we were off on this, but when, of course, it would be a cheaper one-piece job, but in this case, the individual taxpayer is paying it, not the taxpayer at large, so that's a consideration as we decide what we're doing.
Is there any further discussion on the piece of the sale of these 3,125 feet of street to Mr. Williams? Any
question?
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. 13-2.
13-2. I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve a purchase and sale agreement with Sandra Allison and Jimmy Jedry for the acquisition of a parcel of land, being a portion of property identified as PID number 701-88933 and comprising approximately 1,000 square feet in area, for a purchase price calculated at 0.54 cents per square foot.
Seconded by Councilor Inglis. Discussion.
And this one again is in my district, Mayor Clark, and
yep.
Just makes good common sense to have this tidied up to the benefit of not only the taxpayer who gets it into accessible property, but for the property owners. There's no, I don't see any downside, so.
In fact, help me, but have the property next door to it on the George Street side has already acquired that piece of King Street?
Actually, on the upper side.
Upper side, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, discussion. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous, and thank you. Okay, Steve, would you come? Thank Mike.
Okay. I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve amendments to the current ice cancellation policy number 78, which states a minimum of 72 hours, 3 days cancellation to the requested change of 7 days cancellation notice.
Seconder. Councilor Fisk, seconding. Discussion. Steve.
Sure, just a little bit of background on the request to change. It's certainly our goal is to maximize ice revenue rentals. And, you know, in light of the fact that organizations, they currently know their tournament schedules, they know their regular weekly game schedules, etc. We need to encourage the usage of the blocks of ice that they do book. And if this is able to stem an action, you know, or additional $2,000 to $5,000 a year in ICE revenue potential loss, this change will allow staff to seek in our smaller rural community additional usage if there is in fact a cancellation. So if you're on a 3-day cancellation and your cancellation comes in on a Thursday, you're down to 2 days to fill prime ice, for example, on a weekend, which we certainly don't want to see empty. And just to fill that, you know, that spot with a public skate with revenues of, you know, very minimal revenue, certainly isn't acceptable. So we're asking for the increase in days to allow us to fill spots, and certainly organizations do still have a way to cancel if they passionately need to cancel. And in the big picture, we work with all organizations and users very leniently in regards to certainly any weather concern, putting folks on the road at certain, you know, certain points coming from away, etc. That there certainly is no question about. And at the present time, we do not deal in contracts for the ice, for ice blocks. You know, it's basically gentleman's agreement. You've rented the ice, you know, please use the ice. There's a mixture certainly out there in the marketplace of facilities that do go the contractual way, whereby, for instance, an organization may book 1,000 hours of ice, use a bit of exaggeration, 1,000 hours of ice, pay a bill, and if they don't use it, it's empty and they pay the bill. And there's you know, facilities out there, the policies range from 3 days to 3 weeks notice.
Wow.
So to allow us to go up to 7 days, we think would be a positive thing for the organizations and the facility.
I have a point of order before we get into discussion. The motion states the change from 72 to 7 days. And it's all covered under section 78. So that's, but the, if we pass the motion, does it also allow us to include 78.8, which allows discretion to the general manager or designated Queen's Place and Mirror Center? Because that doesn't seem to be in the right place, or it doesn't seem, I mean, the motion is calling for a strict change, and it doesn't provide for any cushioning in the motion. Deputy Manorman, you're always good on these things.
No, I understand what you mean, because we're just simply allowing them as a guideline, because my note is that these are guidelines. They don't have to follow them. It gives them the leniency to make allowances when can be. But when you look at 7808, is that new, that 7808?
Yes, well, to some extent it is.
All that stuff about invoiced in full, the canceled rental. It's always nice to see these before they, but that's not new, is it?
No, so they changed.
Not permitted to reduce rentals, that hasn't been changed.
7808 was just clarified for exceptions, that when extraordinary circumstances beyond the control of the renter, you know, the cancellation, clearly we're not going to charge the Queens County Minor Hockey if there was a snowstorm.
That's right.
And caused that. So that's the discretion. I mean, what we want here is that people aren't leaving ice, and Steve and his team have to scramble a few days to try to find it.
You're getting off the point of order.
But yes, so the discretion's there. It would probably be cleanest if we revised the motion to that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve amendments to the current ICE cancellation policy 78 as per as per this report.
Yeah, and Deputy Mayor, you stopped, I think, a page too soon. The discretion is, yes, exactly.
But it's 278-08, so we should that read
It's all part of 7808.
Yes, the same one.
The same one.
Yeah.
It's all part of.
So on a point of order then, you're suggesting a change to the motion that would, how would you word that?
Simply, the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve amendments to the current ice cancellation policy as outlined in this report and attachment.
Number 78.
Did you get the Council Fancy?
Are we still on that same one? So I could say
We've got a rewording, which I'd ask the clerk to read to us back again so that we're clear on what we're now talking about. Can someone read that back?
That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve amendments to the current ice cancellation policy number 78 as attached.
Yeah.
In this report.
Okay.
So this is something different?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Steve, with the 7-day thing, it gives you more flexibility. But can somebody look at a 7-day forecast and say, looks like going to be a storm on Saturday, and say, well, we don't need the 3 days. We can go way up to 7 days and try to, is that going to cause you grief on the other end? I'm just asking.
No, what it does is provide us flexibility in case of a cancellation that we have more time to seek out, in general, users. So could have been a storm that canceled someone for some reason. And maybe it was from away, and maybe locally, maybe that storm's not affecting this area, and we can fill that ice. So.
But what if they're looking ahead at a 7-day forecast, and they say it looks like a big storm coming on Saturday night? I don't think we're going to be able to
deal with it on a case by case basis, and it's our responsibility to have that ice rendered.
Okay.
My one other question I had, is it mainly storm cancellations? Is that the only reason? Have you found in your experience that groups cancel with reasons not storm related, that they knew that they could have let you know 7 days ago rather than 3 days, like the legitimate reasons they should have let you know a long time ago?
It will happen, but the majority of cancellations are facility cancellations, which, wipe the slate clean, the facility's closed. So
I think before I take the question as a point of order, the motion on the floor, as moved by Councilor Fancy, is as written here.
Yes.
That we need to either withdraw that motion by the mover and the seconder, and then make this motion as it's reworded.
Or you could just have a friendly amendment from
the mover. Or we could do a friendly amendment, but I think it's probably easier to withdraw the motion and then vote on the motion as we've now been discussing.
Because you can't really do a friendly amendment because it is an amendment to the motion because there's
it's
a change within
it,
the context.
Exactly. So yeah. I think we withdraw the motion with your acquiescence, mover, and who seconded that?
Right here. Right here.
You don't, Councilor, and if you would agree to remove that?
Yes.
So the motion that you're about to move, Councilor Fancy, is, let's do it again.
That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve amendments to the current ice cancellation policy number 78 as attached.
Okay. And is that seconded by Councilor Fisk?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody happy with that? Good.
Okay.
Are you ready for the question on that motion? All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you.
Mayor Clark, if I might, while we have, or Steve, were you going to do what I was going to do?
Probably.
Okay,
go ahead. 60 seconds. 60 seconds only.
So you're 5 minutes is for them.
Okay. Okay. Just, I'm sure Councillor Inglis was going to bring this up, but some great things taking place over the next month at Queen's Place. And just to bring you up to date, this weekend is home opener night for the Western Hurricanes, who are 1-0, and our Junior B Liverpool Privateers. And the second game for the Privateers is actually in honor of volunteer firefighters, so there'll be a celebration for that game. Also, Sunday, this Sunday, Terry Fox Run. You can sign up around 1 o'clock. We'll go out and do the trail, etc. Or if it's inclement weather, we'll come inside and do some walking. There'll be a few refreshments. 23rd, Friday night, the 23rd, AUS Women's Hockey. First game we've ever hosted at Women's AUS Hockey at Queen's Place. Dal and St. FX Women, 7 p.m. And then Saturday, the 24th, a Ringette Try It seminar at 3 in the afternoon. So you can go on the website and or go to cometryringette.ca and find out how that works. But anyone's welcome to come. So that's certainly a popular sport in other ends of Nova Scotia and possibly can get root here. And this Thursday, the breast screening program bus will be on site at Queen's Place. And so it will be here from the 15th to the 24th. So just to note those five things. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any, did he cover what you wanted to say, Councilor Inglis, or did you want to?
He did a beautiful job.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Councilor Fancy.
The other thing, too, is that the helmet and skate program.
Thank you. Well, to accentuate, you know, public skating, the growth of ice skating in the area, we do have a loaner program now for helmet and skates. The schools will be accessing that. And the schools played a big role in that for us because they supplied the initial inventory. We screened the inventory, and we have a fair amount of items on hand. So
awesome.
Stop in your suits on a noon time and have a skate, Richard, with your Run Your Shore shirt on, I'm sure.
Sure. Councilor McLeod.
In addition to that, Steve, I just heard that for us more elderly skaters trying to wobble and get on the ice steadily, are you having some support systems for adults as well?
Support systems.
So
I need that really.
You mean a walker?
I need a walker.
There's a business in southern Nova Scotia that's agreed to supply a number of adult skate aids. We're waiting for them. So there'll be a donation.
That's
so
really good.
Yeah.
Heard really good comments about that.
Yeah.
Just one other comment I had. To what the mayor had said before, I've been talking to some of the real estate agencies, and they've had one of the best years they've had in 10 years. Things are selling quite well here in Queens County. One of the fellows who moved up here in Milton, he's a postal worker. He's a retired postal worker. He said he likes to know it because we got our team, our privateer team, and he's excited to go out and see him. He's from Vancouver. He said he hated watching Vancouver because they started to get to a point where, you know, they don't play as hard. The juniors play harder, and he said he's looking forward to it and things like that. It's a great asset.
Awesome. And just another note, our new annual membership of classes is picking up some steam, so we're pleased with that too. So.
Yeah.
Great.
I can upgrade.
Thank you, Steve. Deputy Mayor, but I thought that conversation would never end. Deputy Mayor, would you take the chair, the gavel, for a little while?
Thanks, Steve.
I'll be back.
Yes. So we are at 15.1 World Transit Feasibility Study Needs Assessment, and there is not a motion, it is a information thing. So CEO McCullen, have you been, you want to make
sure.
A few comments on this?
Sure. So last week we learned that we were successful in receiving funding through the Nova Scotia Transit Research Incentive Program, NSTRIP, which provides funding for transit projects that generate new and improved public transit services in rural areas and underserved urban areas of the project of the province. This came together from our last year when I started working with the Queen's Care Society. They've identified two priorities, housing and transit. So working with the Queen's Care Societies, and then there's been another of other groups that have also been interested in rural transit solutions, including Helping Hands, Queen's Community Health Board, the Queen's Board of Trade, there's some others as well. We've been fortunate that the Queen's Care Society has kind of helped keep everybody on the same page. We put in this application a few months ago to do a feasibility study for some community transit solutions, and it'll be fully funded by the province, and that work will take place over the next four or so months, and we'll be doing a kickoff here. I'm going to be talking with Queens Care Society this afternoon, and the consultant that'll be doing the work, and there will be some community consultation, and I look forward to updating council on the progress on this project.
Does anyone have any questions before we move on to our next item, Councilor McLeod?
Still on the transit, Richard, are you familiar with the Rural Rides program that provides funding for certain? So once this feasibility study is done, and then we determine whether we're going to get involved with the transit system, then they can, you can acquire funding through those types of programs?
That's right. So the TRIP also does provide, so we apply for the feasibility study, but potentially if we have a feasible project identified, there's funding available as well. So
yeah.
Very optimistic
yeah.
that we'll have some
yeah.
more money coming following
right.
this.
Excellent.
And the chair.
No, go ahead. You've
okay,
handled it.
So that's it for 15.1. So we'll wrap that up, and you can take over, Mr. Mayor, at 16.1.
Okay, thank you.
Now, does she get paid a little extra for taking the
Yes, she does.
Sir, 1 minute he was left for joking.
The Director of Finance has noted that.
Joking.
The REN, that should fall under you, Councillor Inglis.
Yes, this is the revision to the REN agreement, and I'll make the recommendation. It's recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality authorize the Mayor to execute a revised intermunicipal agreement for the South Shore Regional Enterprises Network that, number one, defers the funding formula review to August 2019, and number two, migrates the director positions on the board of directors to business representatives.
Thank you. Is there a seconder for that motion? Councillor Frelick. The two things by way of explanation, do you want to do the explanation? Do you want me to?
Sure. The funding formula, and it's if you read the discussion, you'd see it there. It's a hybrid based off assessments. There are different potential ways to do changes to the formula, including population based commercial assessment, et cetera. And the REN is still sort of finding its way. So it's not practical for a clear recommendation to change the original formula. So the concept that's been come up with is that we make that decision in 2019 when there's clearer ideas to base that decision on. And the idea of the REN all along was that it was to be a business organization. Mm-hmm. The council representatives on the active committee were there for the development of the policies, et cetera, and weren't intended to be long-term members of the active committee. There will still be the oversight and liaison committee, and that has just the mayors on it, Mayor Clark, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, which has the mayors. So we'll still have representation on the oversight committee thereof.
Thank you. So that would leave, there are four elected people on the board, two that come out of Lunenburg County, one from Queens and one from Shelburne County. So Queens will still end up with two people on the board. We have Joanne Vino, who is the business representative from Queens, and we would seek out another business representative. The suggestion has been made that the individual should come from Central or North Queens, but I think that's something to see.
And Joanne Vino, while we're on the topic, has been a real leader in that group, so.
Good. Sure. Councilor McLeod.
So the representatives from the business community, then, do they report to council at times so that we're up to date on what's happening with the REN?
We
or do we have reports?
Person.
The what, sorry? Okay.
I said we've elected persons.
Not after this.
Not after this.
No, this will end.
That'll end that.
Yes.
So what will we have a liaison between the board and our council?
Richard wants to answer it, but
so the governance is there's a board of directors, and there's also a liaison and oversight committee, of which the mayor is on, and I attend those. And absolutely, we need to report to council under economic development progress on the REN, and that
yeah.
will be responsible.
So that will continue through that committee.
Yes.
Yep, and you, you know, we can arrange it, whatever the new council wants to do, but I would suggest twice a year maybe, to just give them an update. Actually, the board of the REN and both Deputy Mayor Norman and Councilor Inglis can comment on this, but it's an extremely strong board from a business point of view, and we're very fortunate. Yes?
And I'm in total agreement that both positions all should be business appointed, and it is a very strong board. The funding formula review to 2019, I'm a little unhappy with, because as I recall, Queens picked up a bigger chunk of that than we should have. Are we still picking up that bigger chunk in support of our people from the, that way that?
But I wouldn't want to mislead the public, because it's not, it's more than we should have paid under the uniform assessment. We did it because we needed to get the REN done, and at the time, it's the only way to do it. It is not a lot of extra money. Do you know approximately how much?
It's approximately $1,000 delta to us. The variations have about a $40,000 delta to Municipal District of Lunenburg, which is really where the issue is.
So they're paying the big, yeah.
Well, they're not where we are.
It just was expedient at that time to do something. You were there and you understand. Any other discussion on this motion? If not, I'm going to take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. That brings me to 16.2, partnership with the museum. And that must be economic development, perhaps, is it?
I'll read it. It is recommended that the Council of Region Queens direct staff to develop an agreement with the Queens County Museum as per the key terms outlined in the discussion section of this report.
Seconded by Councilor Fisk. Discussion. Richard, do you want to take us through this?
Sure. So this originated, and this is work that was outstanding with this council, so I wanted to get it back with this from the spring. Following the grants to organizations work, there was direction from council for staff to meet with the Queens County Museum staff to better understand their needs and collaborative opportunities. I think one of the things that was said at the time is that our relationship needs to go beyond being simply an annual grant. So we've had a number of meetings and have actually found that they have a lot of stuff and no space, and we have a lot of space and no stuff. So we thought that we could we could work together and come up with some ideas. And so two ideas came out that we're focused on, and we wanted to put this for council so that we can really get serious about making these happen. Is one is that Queens Place Amira Center. The staff have met with Steve and I over there and looked at the space, and we'd like to create a rotating sports exhibits. There's a lot of interesting artifacts from the history in sport and recreation in Queens, whether it be hockey or in baseball, to some of the other types of sporting. There used to be different logging competitions, and there's terms that I can't recall, that things that I never did that would be very interesting, provide more things to look at, reasons to come to Queens Place Amira Center. And as well, you know, we've been working with our Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center, looking for partners to do different things to use it. So in early days, I asked them for ideas there, and they suggested that, well, they'd love to do an annual exhibit at Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center, and proposed that the first one be a Bowater exhibit, which would mark the 5 years since the closure of the former mill, and they're in receipt of a number of artifacts, and we both believe that there's really good volunteer and contribution opportunities for getting people involved with such a project. So that was the other reason we wanted to bring this early. So the cost that is outlined is based on, they gave me an estimate based on their times to curate and develop the projects, and that's put before you. So there you have it.
Discussion. Counsel Fancy, then Deputy Mayor Nolan.
As my wife would say, I probably, she'd think I ate nails for breakfast this morning, but I got a lot of things that kind of concern me. As we look forward to these displays and things, I think this is fantastic. I think that there are great things to have on display and such as, but as we as we've already discussed about the feasibility of even having a library and things like that, that as we say, well, we're looking at a $2,500 initial cost. What happens then? Is that just initial because you're working together to get this together? Does that mean that things move out and then move back in, or things stay there, or what's, you know, what's all going on? Because
So the cost for the $2,500 is a very ballpark estimate to design a permanent display case that would be in the lobby at Queen's Place. So that would be a permanent fixture. The $5,000 annual cost would be for their work, so their hours.
Okay.
We do believe, in talking to Steve, we've been very successful at getting sponsorship. So we believe that actually there's good value in this, and that actually
good.
May be able to offset much of this cost with sponsorship.
Okay.
Deputy Mayor Norman, sorry.
The second part of that, the bull water collection that's going to be presented by the museum in May or June. So they will be using one of the upstairs showrooms for 2 months, and then that display comes down, and then the regular things that have been going on can go back, or what's the plan on
month.
That?
So we'll need to work on the logistics of that. That doesn't necessarily, so it could be in one room, and how it's displayed in the scheduling, we'll work out with our working group at the town hall. So some of those things don't necessarily need to be up for the full month. Some of them may be in display cabinets, such as the bird carvings. So they may not take up the wall hanging system.
So they'd bring their own display cabinets in.
That's where there's volunteer opportunities and opportunities to find things.
Okay, we're only building the ones at Queensbridge.
That's right.
So than anything.
That's right.
So it says propose that in May and June, so that they will work with to curate. So in May and June it will be up, or May and June they're just starting to figure out what they're going to do.
So again, we'll be working through the logistics of this shouldn't take that long to set up. So it'll be about a month long-ish, depending on our scheduling at the town hall, a month long-ish exhibit.
In May.
The rooms. Yep.
In May.
Yeah.
Okay. Councilor Frelick.
So what does the $5,000 cover? Is it their time preparing, or is it time to actually be at the town hall during its preparing?
Preparing. So there is an opportunity and a need for likely volunteer things, because we will have to lock that when there's not people there. There's some of the exhibits, such as the bird carvings, that we couldn't leave unattended.
Mm-hmm. Deputy Mayor, somebody else want to speak before Deputy Mayor?
And But they'll be responsible for that. $5,000 is what we pay them to curate these two displays.
Right.
So then are they also responsible for finding the volunteers to staff if they need to have security staffing at town hall, or is that something that's going to come back?
So like I said, we're not going to put more money into this. We'll be working with them to find that. So there may be times that the exhibit may be scheduled for certain hours, or it may not be open at normal times that room's open, and that's one of the logistics. We need to go out and find some people to do those.
They do what we do.
Because we're paying them $5,000 to do this.
Right.
Queen's Place is fine
yep.
over there, but for the town hall, that $5,000, they're getting paid to create the display, figure out what it's going to be, to put it in one place,
yep.
to figure out the hours, and to find the volunteer staff to staff it. It's all they're getting paid that money to provide us with a staff display, with a display, and then volunteers to
right.
keep
so
it.
So if there's not staff or there's not volunteers that come forward, it would be locked, except for when there's exhibit hours.
Hmm. Okay, Councilor Frelick.
I just want everyone to remember this conversation for next budget time when we're talking about town hall and programming. We literally begged for $2,500 this year for a year's worth of programming. And you can see the price tag that's gone with this one for a month-long study. So how we're expected, or everyone's expected, to get programming in a town hall with no volunteers, no programming money. The money that we have set aside also covers the janitorial services. So we need to keep that in mind when we're looking at budgets next year, because it's virtually impossible to have decent programming with no budget.
No budget.
So.
Okay. Despite that, you've done very well.
Yes.
Are you ready for the question?
Question.
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Just before we break, something we're mentioning, town hall, a point of interest, and I throw this out to anybody who is interested. I was given a church map that is dated 1886, and Church is the cartographer, not the churches, and it shows every residence in Queens with the name of the occupant and the profession of the occupant.
Mm.
And I was given it about a couple of years ago, maybe not quite that, by a lawyer in Halifax. And the game, my original plan was hang it here. It's been framed and is now hanging in the town hall. It's worth going to look at. Kevin Weigel made the frame. Because it was a pretty fragile document, as you would imagine, from 1886 through to whatever it is now, 2016. But it's there, and I mentioned only as a point of interest. You might be interested, you'd like to go and have
nostalgic
a look.
Nostalgic for you to see so many old friends.
Yes, Councilor Phillips.
Despite what Bruce said, it's a great map. The problem is because it's so large.
It's so high, isn't it? Yeah.
You can't get, so maybe you have one of those big magnifying
glasses. I do. See.
But, I mean, it really is, because there's a lot of interesting information on it. But without a ladder or something to see,
we need some kind of steps, but that in
it's okay when you're down in Brooklyn looking, but if you want to see North Queens, I mean, it's virtually impossible. So,
we need to think some more about it. And yes, sorry.
No, I was going to say those are, there's several of those around. I actually gave one to the Queens County Museum 20 years ago, and after I signed my paperwork giving it to them, I was informed they had several of them. However, they are great, but we should find a way with what, you know, what were those big things you put on doors, patio doors? If you want to look outside and have bird feeders or a big magnifying glass that comes.
I have an
well,
idea.
That, it's there, we're working
however,
out.
However, we'll
it's
figure
there.
Out.
Yes, Susan.
I happened to visit this I can never pronounce it, Civicale Gallery. And there are amazing exhibits in there. One of the feathers that are painted, you just have to go see the intricate work that this person does painting feathers. It's amazing. So just want the public to know there's wonderful exhibits in that Civic Gallery.
Great answer. Okay, I'm ready for a motion to go in camera.
So moved.
And is there a seconder? Councilor Frelick seconding. All in camera? It's unanimous. Thank you.